Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Wake Up America Church Ministries. Hope you guys are having a good week. Salvation is so important for us to get that right, to know what salvation is. And I know I kind of probably have heard that term like a broken record, I guess, over and over talking about salvation. What really just breaks my heart is, especially here in America, I don't think many truly really get it, or they get it, or they've been spoon-fed pieces of it and not the full truth. And if you guys follow me for any time, I'm about the full truth. At the point, I shoot straight. I don't sugarcoat it, and because of that, I'm not very popular, because especially in my area, a lot of people want it sugarcoated. In reality, as we approach the time that is coming close, guys, I mean, this world has an expiration date, and not many really truly understand that our time is very limited, as in Jesus is coming back soon. Now, people will say, hey, you know, and I know I heard this other preachers say the same thing, you know. They've been saying this for 2,000 years or whatever, or how many years. And he hasn't came back yet. And I always think back to the days of Noah. You know, most historical scholars will put Noah at about 120 years preaching before the rain. Some will put it actually lesser than that, but regardless, you know, Noah kept preaching that it's going to rain on you guys, right? And of course, I'm paraphrasing. It's going to rain. You guys are wicked. You need to turn from your way. Repent. Right? Repent. Repentance. Turning from their wickedness, wicked ways. And they're all looking around and like, yeah, you know, you lost your mind. At that point, there was not rain. Could you just imagine Noah building that boat in there, sitting there watching him, and you know, there had to be a big audience, and how foolish he looked to them. And how in today, preaching a message like this or proclaiming it to whoever, I imagine me and others that are proclaiming this, that Jesus is coming back soon, get ready, quit playing around, get all in, quit being half in and half out. We have to be all in for the days that are coming, and warning, you know, warning and warning and warning. And that's just part of it, and part of the ministry that God has laid on my heart through this website is warning, 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 especially to America and the churches. Wake up. Stop playing. Quit flirting with that world. Be able to apply the Bible to your life. Be able to explain salvation to anybody in the street. That means we have to memorize verses, and we have to, you know, we have to saturate ourselves with the Word of God. And salvation is one of those things that we have to have that saturation of our heart in the Word of God to explain that blessed hope. And we also have to understand that, what does it mean for me to be a child of God and to be a disciple for Jesus? And what is this thing? Is salvation and discipleship, is it different? Can I be saved and not be a disciple? I mean, this lukewarm gospel that is pretty much proclaimed in the majority of the churches today in America is that you can be saved and you can keep doing everything you want to do as you were before. There don't have to be no change in your life. So you can say I'm saved, and the next minute you're posting cuss words on Facebook or acting the other way. No, that is not correct. Our lives are supposed to be separate from that world. And this is the, and of course I preached a full series sermon on progressive Christianity. We have to, that is the progressive mind thought. That is what I believe the mechanism. In course, progressive Christianity may change its name to something different, but it will still have the same drive to it. Destroy traditional Christianity, that's historical Christianity, that is what the Bible truly says. Inject this new age Christianity where you can do whatever you want, say whatever you want, and you're still going to be saved, and you don't have to suffer nothing. You don't have to worry about picking the cross. You don't have to deny yourself. You don't have to surrender anything. You can keep living your life. You can, as Joel Osteen would say, you can have your best life now, meaning you can have all the pleasures that your fleshly heart desires and still be saved, and you get to go to heaven. Hell don't exist, according to Joel Osteen. He don't want to preach on hell. It makes people feel bad. You know what? We need to feel bad. We need to understand who we are to a holy and righteous God. And so my heart's really been focused on salvation. And if you follow this ministry any time, yeah, salvation, 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 application, application. We got to apply it to those around us. Our lives are supposed to be different. We're not supposed to be blending in to anybody that comes from, that's from work to whatever. We're not supposed to blend in. We are supposed to be separate from this world. Yes, we can go to work and we have to do our job, but we don't blend in to that secular thought pattern that's out there. Salvation. And that's kind of what I'm going to hit on tonight. I just want to get where, you know, I haven't preached on salvation on this website in probably a little bit. I mean, every message I preach has that salvation element to it. But tonight, I just wanted to go a little bit. You know, I just want to go into salvation. That's the topic. I guess our key verse tonight, of course, we'll be going through several verses. Because the Word of God is supposed to be our lamp, right? It's supposed to light our path. We are supposed to saturate ourselves with the Word of God. Our heart should be so saturated with the Word of God that nothing else matters. Not going home and spending time with the family, which is important. Not going home, cutting the TV on, putting on Netflix, and just enjoying yourself. We should come home and, yes, we say hi to the wife, and if you have kids and the kids, but our hearts should be driven to the Word of God, because in the days are coming and we are in hard times now, but it will get worse. It's only dedicating, surrendering our life to the Word of God and standing on the Word of God will give us strength to endure whatever's going to come our way. And I love Romans. Romans is such a beautiful letter. Key scripture tonight is Romans 6:23. That's Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. As you guys bow with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, just to come in your presence. Breathing in, breathing out what we may be going through this week. Lord, you know the struggles I am facing. And Lord, you know how my heart is heavy. I just give you all of it, Lord. All my worries and all my stressors, Lord, I just give it all to you, Lord. God, I pray, Lord, that you just guide and you direct this message tonight. I really didn't clearly have anything written out like per se, like I normally do. I just want to preach on salvation. I pray this helps those out there that they'll get a better understanding of salvation. But Lord, they just, the scriptures that are used tonight, they just go back to them scriptures. And they look at those scriptures and they meditate on the scriptures. And then they start searching their Bible and studying their Bible, how scripture relates to scripture and scripture upon scripture. Oh, how salvation is from Genesis to Revelation, Lord. That the whole message of salvation is the entire Bible. We cannot just look at one passage and talk about salvation. It's all the way through the Bible. From Genesis all the way to Revelations. You coming back for us, God. You coming back and just establishing your kingdom. The new earth and the new heaven. Oh, how beautiful that will be, Lord. That time is drawing near. In your eyes, God, it's just a second away. And your time is not our timing. God, I pray, Lord, that you just be with those out there that are struggling. That may not have jobs. That may, their health may be on decline. Maybe the ones have lost individuals, Lord, I pray. Be with them in the time of need, Lord. I pray over those that are just struggling with everything that's hitting them from COVID to the vaccines to the burden, the job stress. God, I pray that we just lean on you more. Sometimes we won't understand all the things happening around us. All we can do is lay our hearts at your feet and pray for the strength to endure another day. To keep marching forward, knowing in the end, as a child of God, there's a paradise waiting for us that we can't even imagine. And thank you for that, God. Thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. As we pray in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. And you know, for the wages of sin is death. You see, sin, it doesn't want to be talked about. And that is a sad truth today. You will look at the majority of the pulpit sermons when they're speaking on salvation. They're not really centralizing on sin. It's more of a byproduct. Oh, we sin against God. And, you know, we have to understand sin is critical to salvation. And, I mean, if you go over here to Genesis. And really, I mean, Genesis is a good read. Genesis is. But, and I've said this term before, and you guys have heard this term probably if you're following this ministry at any time, and you know, it's been a few years since talking about the fall of man and the curse, right? And you really see that in Genesis 2 and 3. Paraphrasing is Jesus, I mean, well, God, of course, is Jesus, but God created this world in six literal days, and I truly believe literal days, and that last day he rests, not because he had to, but because he was sitting the whole 7-day work week, and I'll say he was not really the work week, I guess in the sense, yes, because Adam and Eve, they were going to work in the garden, but it wasn't really like work, but he was establishing a pattern, and he really, it's like when you're building, you know, building something, and I don't know if you guys are very familiar, like if you're building a house, and You know, once you get it built, you kind of want to just go in there and just kind of chill, right? You're like, hey, this is good. And I can promise you what God created when he created this world, it was beyond what we can imagine. It was perfection. It's more than... And so, and there was no sickness, right? There was no illness. There was, you didn't have extreme weather. You didn't have extreme hot. You didn't have extreme cold. You didn't have tornadoes. You didn't have hurricanes, right? The animals were plant eaters. Adam and Eve, they didn't have to do, they worked, but they didn't have to have that pain that I know the older I get, the more pain I can feel, right? I get up in the morning and I was joking with my wife. I said, if I woke up and I didn't have no pain in the morning, I'm probably dead in heaven. Because the older I get, the more my body hurts. Since, and I'm not that old. I mean, I'm mid-age. I'm 41. Of course, older individuals are 60, 70. They're like, yeah, you're just a kid. Man, I don't even want to think of myself when I'm 60 or 70. I probably won't be able to get out of bed. I'll probably be in a wheelchair. Because my body's already pretty wore out already. But they didn't have that pain. And they didn't have the headaches. And they didn't have they didn't have to worry about anything. Everything was taken care of. He had everything taken care of. But he did give Adam a command. Adam, there was a tree. It was in the middle of the garden. Genesis 2:16. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for that day that thou eatest, thereof thou shalt surely die. Surely die. And then 18 said, the Lord God said, it is not good that a man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate for him. And you'll see where Eve comes in. You will surely die. Do not eat of that tree. That was a commandment that God gave Adam. And we know in Genesis 3, when we look at what Genesis 1, and we read all the way down. Now let's read some of this. Genesis 3:1 said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, have God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, ye may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden. You may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And then the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. So Eve was aware. Now, we don't know if Adam told her or God told her, but she was very aware of that tree she was not supposed to eat of. And if she does, she would surely die. Well, when the serpent, and some will say, you know, the serpent is symbolic to Satan. It was just actually Satan. It was actually serpent. But the key here is Satan is a worthy adversary. He was able to deceive Eve and Adam. He deceived Eve. Eve deceived Adam. They took of the fruit. Sin came into this world. Sin is a curse. And when sin came into this world, God had to pronounce that judgment on mankind. That is when physical human death came. A physical death came into the garden. And of course, this was this physical death, meaning they started to age, and the age of basically their bodies started deteriorating. And this physical death is also a spiritual death. So there was two deaths that was proclaimed, or that was announced. It was the physical and then the spiritual death. You see, we all will have a physical death. unless Jesus comes back and he takes us, he comes back and he establishes kingdom on this earth, we will have a physical death. We can't escape it other than that. The spiritual death is something we can avoid. Spiritual death is something we can avoid. When we look at, let's see. I'm not very organized tonight, but let's see. I have that scripture written down here. The physical death, Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed to man to die once, but after the judgment, that is the physical death. Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all the liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire, which is the second death. The second death is a spiritual death. But that is what is going to happen to every one of us that don't come to the, what we say, the saving knowledge of salvation. Now, it's very important when we look at Genesis 3:3 here. We go over here to 3:15. And 3:15 says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. This was the first Messianic promise of the coming Messiah, the coming of Jesus. God was saying, because of this, there is a time coming. There's a time coming. There is somebody coming in physical form that we'll have to experience a horrible death. A horrible death. But this death will only be temporary. Satan will think he has won, but he's really losing. We have to understand, Satan is, he has already lost. He is just like a hamster on that wheel, turning on that wheel. He has not won. He has lost. But he still is here on this world, and he's going to take as many as he can down, because long as he's still in this world, and we got to understand that he is the god of this world. Satan is the god of this world. He will try to take as many as he can down, and he will try to skew God's word, as he did at the very beginning when God said, don't eat of that tree. And he's still doing the same thing. That's what we get. He is still manipulating the scripture. And here's the key. If we study the word of God and we seek his face and we pray and we find good Bible teachers, I know they're hard to find, and we find good preachers that are dedicated to the word, the study, they can't get enough of it. You can see the passion in their eyes. I'm telling you, you can tell a man that's on fire for God behind that pulpit. You can't fake it. Now, if you're not spiritually preparing your mind and studying your word and praying, and you're not where you need to be, you will be fooled. Now, I'm going to tell you, many are fooled today. They have preachers and pastors in their pulpits and Bible teachers that can speak a good thing, but their heart is so far from God. We need men of God that will stand on the word of God, that will have a fire burning in their loins for the word of God, that will pronounce the message wherever it may be, even if it may hurt our feelings. I want my feelings hurt. But this is the whole thing here is, you, Adam and Eve, sinned against God. But he said, I'm giving you this promise. is something you can look forward to. But before that, it's very interesting to look at that God killed that first sacrifice. Genesis 3:21 said, "To Adam also his wife did the Lord make coats of skin and clothe them," meaning he killed, blood had to be shed. It was only temporary. And of course, this sets the sacrificial covenant up, which you can read. And if you guys haven't studied Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, the Old Testament still matters. Don't let people tell you otherwise. Now, we're not under the law. No. But the law gives us ideal. It points to Jesus, and that's what all of the sacrificial laws, it was just literally a band-aid. And then you go to the prophets and the prophetic words in Isaiah and Ezekiel, they're pointing to this coming Messiah, this Lamb of God. They're pointing, all the scriptures are pointing, this is just the first one. But you keep reading, you read the Psalms, and you look at David, and they're pointing, the Old Testament's pointing to Jesus Christ is coming. And that's what they're doing. They believed in that promise of a Messiah that's coming. And the thing is, today, he came. Don't let nobody tell you he has not came. Jesus Christ has came. Right? John 3:16-17, probably one of the most popular quoted scriptures out there about salvation, because it's easy to memorize. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." Amen. God sent his only begotten Son, that is Jesus Christ, down to this world. And you can start in Matthew and work your way all the way to John. And you can look and study. And of course, what we have is Matthew, Mark, Luke. They are what we call synoptic gospel, meaning you need to study Matthew, Mark, and Luke together, and it pieces together a picture of the Jesus Christ and his ministry. And John's a little bit separate, but you can go to John, and when you look at John, it really highlights the Savior and the Trinity. Lord, it's beautiful, right? It all comes together because John's pointing to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we need all three, right? But all three is one. Amen. Amen. And Jesus had to die. He had to die on that cross. That bloody and that brutal cross. 15:3-4 said, "For I deliver on you first of all that which I have also received, how which ye have received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and he rose again that third day according to the scripture." Jesus had to die on that cross, that old rugged cross. His blood had to be spilled for that atonement. See, without the spilling of the blood, there is no remission of sin, meaning there is no forgiveness of sin. I think Romans 5 and all of Romans, it's so packed with salvation. I encourage you guys to read Romans, study Romans. But man, when we look at Romans 5 and we look at verse 1, it said, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace within we stand, rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but glorying in tribulation, knowing that tribulation works patience, patience experience, hope. And hope make not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." And here's the, when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He died for all. Everyone. He died. We can get really thinking that he didn't die for that murderer, that child molester, that sex trafficker. When we start thinking about politicians like Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi, he died for them too. If they die, they're going to hell if they don't change their life. Oh, he died for them. They're not beyond the grace of God if they will just bow their heads and give their hearts to him. But we want to say, no, the grace ain't for them. No, he died for the ungodly. I was ungodly. I was on a path to hell. I was so deep in the dark arts. I was in all kind of darkness. The Satan had my heart. His demons had me in their claws. And if you know a little bit about my story, I tried to take my life. And that night, I could remember the demons howling in my ears. I could remember the spirits and the darkness pulling me. I was done. I just was tired. I wanted to give my life up. I was ready to die, go to hell. But thank God Jesus came. He rescued me. Laying there almost dead, he brought me back life. In the hospital getting pumped, my stomach pumped out, and God, oh, he rescued me in that darkness. I had to have that come to Jesus moment. I had to look at my life and the way I was living it. And I had, finally picking the Bible back up and studying the Word. God was like, you have enough? I was like, I've had enough. I say, use me, God, any way that you can. I don't care if it's just one person or two persons, three persons, 20, 100, 1,000, 10,000. You just put them in my path. And I'll give them the message that you have laid on my heart, even though it may be hard. Even though it may cost me my life and my freedom. Even though I'll know many in that day, those believing a pre-trib and thinking they're getting away from everything, and they realize it's actually going to cost them something, and they realize they're not all in. The word of God is truly not deeply ingrained into their hearts. They have the knowledge in their heads, but their hearts are so far from it. There are good teachers that can teach the Word of God. You will hear seminary professors with several PhDs that can expound the Scriptures, and you think the Holy Spirit's all over, and then they turn around, they deny God. They'll say that word deconstruct. I realize it's all a lie. I'm telling you, when the Holy Spirit is burning in your heart, you know the truth, and the truth will set you free, and there's nothing that can change that. There's nothing that can change that. Romans 5:6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, for sacredly, for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man. Some wouldn't even dare to die, but God commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, when we have now received the atonement. And you go to verse 12, it's a word for us, by one man sin entered into the world, death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for they all have sinned, right? We all have sinned. We all come short of the glory of God. This is pointing out that atonement, the death on the cross, the blood that was shed. Without that blood, there's no remission, no forgiveness of sin. That one attacks is, oh, the crucifixion wasn't real. Oh, Jesus didn't really die on that cross. Oh, you know, that tack. You see, if they can deny or get you to question the crucifixion, then they know that they can literally move you away from the Word of God. And I'll tell you today, Jesus died on that cross. It was brutal. It, because I believe it through the Word of God, and I believe the Word of God with everything I got. The blood that was shed on that cross was for me and you, for the whole world. And the precious blood, He was the Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world. On that cross, He had to become that nastiness. He had to take it, and the blood had to be shed, and His physical body dead, and He was laid in that tomb, right? And that third day, He rose. That's so beautiful. He rose from the grave, and then they will attack the resurrection, say, oh, He was truly not resurrected. He was not truly dead, or the disciples stole His body. I want to tell you, all of that is what they're trying to pull away. Don't let nobody, I don't care how many PhDs they got, I don't care how educated they got. God looks at the education of the world. He looks at how many people has a PhD behind their name, and it only compare to how smart and how God's mind, and how brilliant He is, and how powerful He is, and how intelligent, and His intelligence goes beyond what anything we can study the Bible for the rest of our life, and we'll not truly understand the magnitude of it. I don't care how many theology degrees you have. I don't care how much you can interpret the Greek and the Hebrew. We will truly not understand until one day we're with Jesus, and all will be revealed, and the Word of God will be truly revealed to us, and we will know Him more than we have ever would know Him here. It's only a piece, only sample, only taste of what the knowledge we'll have when we're with Jesus. Amen. He died on that cross. He was placed in that tomb. He rose that third day. And I will tell you, we take that to heart, right? We agree with that. You know, we flip over to Romans 10 and 10:8 through 10 tells us, but what say it? The word is nigh thee, even the mouth and the heart, and the word of faith which we preach. See, we still preach the same thing. The message has not changed. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confess is made unto salvation. Hallelujah. You see, when we take all that in, we commit our hearts to that. We recognize our sin and how destructive it is. And that when we're left up to our own devices, it ends horribly. We need to know that our sin, when we don't recognize our sinful nature, and we don't recognize this very powerful word that doesn't want to be proclaimed in the pulpits, repentance, 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 hallelujah. Turn away from our sin and place our eyes on Jesus. When we commit our lives to Him, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is new. He is new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We are new in Christ. We are not the same old individuals, right? In Galatians 5, you know, it tells us that works of the flesh, we are not supposed to be indulging in that. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, guys. Lasciviousness, idolatry is anything we put before God. Witchcraft, don't even let me get into witchcraft, and how our churches are celebrating Halloween and the kids are dressing up. This is witchcraft. Oh, how they want to celebrate Harry Potter. Oh, it's witchcraft. how they want to glorify Disney. How they're letting their kids watch spells and citing these intations or whatever, man. It's sad. Hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedation, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reviling. Paul goes on and says, such like of which I tell you before, I have also told you in time past. Here's the kicker. You won't hear this in many pulpits. That they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So you're going on Facebook and you're beauting out cuss words. You're putting it on cuss words. And next thing you're posting is scripture. And your heart's not grieved. There's something wrong with your heart. Because if you have the Holy Spirit living in your heart, this will grieve your spirit. It grieves mine when I see it. That's your progressive Christianity today. It does not look like the true historical, traditional, biblical Christianity is something totally different. Oh, I can talk the way I want to talk. I can act the way I want to talk. I can go out with my friends and do whatever I want and still say, hallelujah, I'm saved. No, you're not saved. You're going against the Word of God. You're supposed to be grieving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not grieving inside you. You're not a child of God. You're not a daughter of God. You are a son and daughter of Satan, and you will die, and you will die in your sins, and you will go to hell. And this is one preacher that will not lie to you. You can hate me. You can. But we are supposed to be regenerated, right? Titus 3, 4 through 8 says this, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior, for man appear now by works of righteousness. Righteousness, guys, which we have done by not according to our righteousness like that we done, but according to His mercy. He saves us. He saves us with His mercy by the washing, regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly. Jesus Christ, our Savior, not being justified by His grace. Now being justified by His grace, we shall be made heirs according to the hope, eternal life. And this is the faithful saying, these things that I affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. And these things are good and profitable unto men. And some of these scriptures I got memorized, so they may not be lined straight up to... there might be a few words. But you know, we memorize scripture. We're supposed to. At least a paraphrase them. At least. In course, Ephesians 2, 8, 10. For by grace you are saved through faith, and not of yourself, is the gift of God. Right. But not of works. Yes. At least, you know, any man should boast. We'll boast. We're prideful. We'll boast about it. But then people are going to leave verse 10 out. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we shall walk in them. They want to leave verse 10 out. Because why? Nobody wants to. They want to say, oh, I'm saved, so I don't have to do nothing. Oh, I'm saved and I don't have to. See, when you are truly saved, you're truly, the Holy Spirit has came into your life. You have been regenerated. You have been renewed by the Holy Spirit. John 3, 1 tells about being born again. You have to be born again. The Holy Spirit has to be in your heart. And you are new in Christ. And because you're new, you are driven by the Holy Spirit to do works. And this is what we call discipleship. Salvation is a question I was opposing at the talking about at the very beginning. You cannot be salvation and discipleship goes together. It's not separate. It's not separate. You'll see many times Jesus saying, you cannot be my disciple. If you do this, you cannot be my disciple. You have to deny yourself, pick up your cross, follow me daily. Every day we are supposed to surrender our life in the morning or wherever it may look like and crucify this flesh at the altar of self and say, here I am, God. What do you need me today? Not how I'm going to make my employer happy, but how can I reach them with the gospel? Yes, I have to do my job, but I am a Christian first, utmost. Problem is, that is not the mindset. But when we have the Holy Spirit in our life, we are disciples for Jesus, and we are driven with that message of the gospel of the good news. And another part I want to hit, with having the Holy Spirit in our life, God corrects us. Hebrews 12, 6 through 11 said, "For whom the Lord loved, he chastens. He scourges every son, and that can be daughter, who he receives. And if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what a son is he whom the father chastens not? But if ye be without chastisement thereof, all partakers thee are bastards." And a lot of churches want to clean this language. I'll tell you, you are a bastard if you don't receive the chastening and the scourging. When you sin against God, you are a bastard. You're not his son. You're not his daughter. You're going straight to the pit of hell. All that may offend you, let it. Verse 9, "Foremost, we have had fathers of our flesh who correct us and give us they get reverence. Shall we much rather be his subject unto the Father's spirit and lie and live? For they vary for a few days, they chasten us because of their pleasure," meaning they are doing it in the sense that they're getting pleasure out of it. But God, for our profit, meaning he scourges us, he chastens us, that we may be partaker of this one word that the church don't want to hear today, is holiness and righteousness. We are holy because we are before a holy God. He wants us to be partaker of the holiness. He wants our life to be different. That is sanctification. That's a process of looking more like Jesus every day. I will tell you, do your life look more and more like Jesus? Or less? Or do you look more like this world in Galatians 5? Are you walking more in the Spirit and less more in the Spirit or less in the flesh? Are you walking more in the flesh and less in the Spirit? 11 says, "Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. God don't take no pleasure at beating us. Nevertheless, afterward he yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto him which are seen thereof." Thank God for the chastening and the scourging. Thank God for that pull away from, because if it was Jonathan, I'd be in that gutter doing all kind of things. But when I step out of line and what the will of the will that God has me, he pulls me back with chastening. If I'm starving and I'm going at it, he scourges me to a point where it's painful. Now, you think of scourging, it's painful. It's painful. You think of the cross. Flip over, if you haven't seen The Passion, which is, there's problems with that movie, but one of the parts that they did get right is when they put Jesus on that post and they take that whoop and they scourge. That's a scourging, a rip. Oh, I can't watch that. It's too graphic. Oh, how could... Yes, that's what he does to us when we get out of line. Do you feel that? Or do you keep walking in that flesh like nothing happened? I want to tell you, there's something wrong with your heart, and there's some preacher out there that's been lying to you, telling you can get away with that, that you don't have to do nothing. I'm here today to tell you this message like this needs to go out to the pulpit. Oh, how they don't want to hear it. Oh, how they will not invite me back to their churches because they don't hear the truth. But I'm telling you, there's a time coming where God is about to get done with America, and it's lukewarm preaching. It's preachers trying to play pity patty with a pulpit or with the pulpits and his congregation, not telling them the truth, not telling about salvation. Your life has to be different. You have to be a disciple for Jesus. The sanctification process. In Romans 5, we talked about the justification. That's important. And we talked about grace and mercy, which is seen at that cross. And that grace and that mercy, if you still have a breath in your body, there's still grace and mercy. But tonight, you have to truly make a decision. Well, they use that word, make a decision, and they really, I guess, water that down a lot. Oh, you make your decision tonight. Every head bow. Let's say this little prayer. I want to tell you, the Bible does not support that. Say this little prayer, y'all saved. No. Tell them. The birds in the air, or the fowls, King James, they have a nest. They have a place of comfort. The foxes, they have holes, they got a place of comfort. But the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Oh, be homeless. If you were homeless tonight and you didn't have nothing, you were starving, you're on the side of the road and it's pouring down, you have your Bible, can you still stand for the Word of God? Come on, hit them with that. We have created a nation of anemic babies, professing nothing they know anything about. And when they're hit with the truth right between their eyes, they're going to hate you for it. But I'd rather them hate me than one day when they're burning in hell, realize they weren't, or they may not feel they had the opportunity. God will give them all the opportunity in the world to hear the truth. And of course, some of the sad scriptures in Matthew 7, when it speaks of two ways, right? One narrow, one wide. And Jesus says, you know, that narrow way, few will go down that path. And I know you've probably heard preachers say it, talk about it. Yeah, I preached a few sermons on it. And that wide path, everybody likes that wide path. And that's pretty much, that is the path that America, Christianity is on. That wide path. Where they have watered down the gospel. You will hear that through the Stephen Furtick messages, the Kenny Copeland, Joel Osteen, of course, Clef Dollar, Joel Smyer, Beth Moore, John Hagee, his son William Hagee. I mean, delicious. I mean, there's so many. I could probably list about 100 if I kept on going. But they're popular. I only mention the ones that kind of my mind tonight. What really troubles me is the Steve Furtick. He's growing in popularity, and he's a heretic. And people be defending him left and right. They don't study their Bible. They may think they study the Bible, but they don't. But here's the thing, guys. This message is, I'm sorry, I kind of might have been over, you know, all over the place tonight. Some of the scriptures I've memorized and have a few written down. I just really want to hit on salvation tonight. That verse on the straight gate and the wide is the gate. It's Matthew 7:13-23, if you want to look that up. And of course, it speaks of the good tree and the evil tree. I encourage you guys to look at those scriptures. Those are really important. In Matthew 7:15, he said, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing, but inward they are ravening wolves." Everything I speak tonight is just in love. I know it may be a little harsh, and I mean, the message may get out there to whoever needs to hear it tonight. But the key here is, as long as you're listening to this, you're still alive. You can go back over this, you can write the scriptures down, you can do your own Bible study, you can seek the direction, you pray over it, seek the Holy Spirit on the direction. And like I say, salvation starts at Genesis and goes all the way to Revelation. I encourage you guys to first read Genesis 1, 2, and 3 and just really get deep into that, especially 2 and 3. And look at death, and look at sin, and look at Genesis 3:15, and how it, and then of course look at the prophets pointing to Jesus Christ. And, you know, it was all about the coming Messiah. See, when Jesus came on sight, everything was in place. Some people was like, well, why don't Jesus came back? You know, God could have sent His Son anytime, but everything was in place for Him to come back that period of time, and to. And we have so much evidence, and the Bible is historically accurate and reliable. Don't let nobody tell you otherwise. They are, you know, the Bible's been probably tacked and analyzed more than any book in the world, because people, it's offensive. Sin is offensive. Saying we are sinful in nature and we need it saving is offensive. But the key is, we are sinful. We have this flesh, and our flesh wants what the flesh wants, right, guys? Our flesh wants to walk in it in his own way or her own way. Our flesh wants it. But as a child of God, we have to deny the flesh, and we cannot do that on our own. So when we come to Christ, we recognize who we are to a holy and righteous God. We recognize our sin and that we need God. And yes, we will sin, but when we do, we know the Holy Spirit corrects us, and it guides us, and it directs us. Right, we're talking about Hebrews 12, chastening and scourging. It scourges us to a point where we have to get on our knees and we have to repent. And repentance is key of turning away from that sin and pointing our eyes back to Christ and getting back on that path and saying, "Here I am, guide me, direct me. Keep me pressing forward, Jesus. Keep me persevering to the end. Keep me pushing forward." The Holy Spirit keeps us on that path because He will scourge us and He will chasten us to a point where we don't have an option. But we recognize, we come to Him, we recognize that change in us, and we recognize that we don't want to be part of this world anymore, that we are just passing through, and we want to be that light in this world, and we want to grab on what God needs us to grab onto, and that message of the good news to a world that don't want to hear it, to people around us that don't want to hear it. And we recognize the cost, and we're all in. I'm all in, God. Regardless if I lose everything tonight, I'm all in. Regardless if I lose my job tomorrow, I'm all in. Regardless if my whole family turns their back on me and they shun me, I'm all in. Regardless if I'm placed in prison or in handcuffs or even death, I'm all in. I'm all in to the end. The thing is, American Christianity, American Christians, they don't want to suffer for nothing. Nothing. And there's times coming that God's removing His hand. And I believe it started with COVID. More, you know, I believe COVID was a pestilence, basically. And I know that's controversial, but it said in the last days there will be pestilence. And trust me, it's not over. What I see with COVID is everybody, they think they can control it. It's all in our hands. Get a vaccine. Get this. Get that. Wear a mask. Oh, do this. Do this. Do that. We got this. We're in control. Oh, God. When the government established, said our church is non-essential, turning their nose on God, our government has turned their back on God, and they're constantly still turning their back on God. Guess what? God turns His back on us, and when He removes His hands of protection, all kind of things can happen. I believe we're just seeing just a taste of what's about to hit America. When COVID hit, it didn't shock me. I was one of those people that was not shocked. Shocked many. When they started talking about shutting the churches down, not shocked. I study my Bible. More things are coming. But the key tonight is to recognize, I know I am a child of God because I know God sent His Son. I know He died on that cross. I know He rose that third day. I know the Holy Spirit's inside me and it's on fire. And I know I cannot get enough of the Word of God. And I don't want to be part of this world. I want to be part of Jesus. Right? I want to be His disciple. I have counted the cost. I am going to walk forward. Regardless what it may cost me, the Holy Spirit is burning inside me. I will proclaim the word of truth regardless how the world don't want to hear it. I will preach against the ungodliness of this world. I will preach and I will stand. My life will be an example. It won't blend into this world. I won't blend into this world. I won't have that dirty grace that the church is preaching on, that you can keep on sinning and still be saved. No, greasy grace. A sin car? No. The Holy Spirit will correct us. It will chasten us. It will beat us. And you think you're not going to feel that. And you're not feeling that. You're not a child of God. You truly have not committed and accept Christ into your heart. And you need to recognize that. You need to get on your knees tonight and say, "Here I am, God." And all these scriptures that we went over tonight, go back through them. Study them. Memorize them. Where you don't even need the Bible to look at you, just they're on your hearts. For the wages of sin, right, is death. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the grace of God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I pray tonight that you truly recognize how important salvation is and how it is supposed to transform your life. And you want to seek God more than anything else in this world. As you guys bow with me, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just come tonight, thanking you for this opportunity, Lord, just to go through this message. I pray that whoever is out there that hears this tonight, it touches their heart. Maybe there's something in their path that they're doing. Maybe their hearts are not truly committed to you. Maybe they have never heard a message like this. It's kind of rattled them. Lord, I pray they go through these scriptures that you have given me tonight. They don't take my word for it. They go to the Word of God. And they let the Word of God speak for Himself. For it's a living Word of God. And there are so many scriptures that points to you and salvation. I pray that you just, as they go through the Bible, you just reveal yourself to them, scripture by scripture, knowing that our lives are supposed to be different. We're not supposed to be the same when you come into our lives. There's a sanctification, there's a process of becoming more like you. And that our desire and our walk need to line up with you. God, I pray that you just guide them and direct them. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Once again, you guys can catch me on Facebook, MeWe, Twitter, Instagram, and of course this website. If you guys have my personal, if you're on Facebook, you can instant message me on there. If you have my phone number, you can text me. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.